Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop shares his remarkable journey of building churches and the prophetic significance of honoring spiritual legacy. This message will equip you on how to confront and break generational curses, overcome spiritual strongholds, and walk in divine protection. Know today that this is God's word of inspiration for you. Be empowered as you listen.
I want to talk to you about breaking the cycle of patterns. And I know that we are all Shaddamites and Shiddamites. We speak in tongues. Yes, sir. And I know we are the Redeemer of the Lord and we are believers and all that is good. But I want you to understand something, that when people are saved and born again, you, first of all, you are a baby in the Lord. You got to grow. You got to mature to come to the place of sonship. And there are a lot of babies in the church all over the nations. We have too many babies. And babies and kids and children don't inherit. The Bible said, for as many as believed on him, to him or to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You become a son. Children are born, but sons are developed. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There's a difference between sonship. There's a difference between a child and a son. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the mature sons of God. Even among sons, they are mature. And the whole creation of God groans, awaiting the manifestation, not of the children of God, but the sons of God. It is sons that inherit. Children don't inherit. When I was writing my will the other time, I said to my lawyer, give this and give this and give that to everybody. But to this one, I want it to be held in trust for this one, not now. The rest can have it. And I'm not waiting to go for my children to find out what is in the will. I told them, I said, this is what you have and this is what I have. For all of you. Anything else, it will go into trust for you. But for now, everything I have is this. This is yours. This is yours. This is yours. This is, take it. Build upon it. Don't wait for me to go anywhere. Because sometimes the desire and the wish of waiting for your parents to go for you to inherit becomes a dead wish. And I am not waiting to go anywhere for anybody to get anything. Take it right now that I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Pawadia, may the amount. You two build yours. My father didn't give me anything till he died. You know, so I'm not waiting. Don't wait for me to go. You can have it right now. Don't pray any prayers. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot. Recently, one of my bishops called me. And I didn't like the sound of his voice. And I said, what is it? And he said, your daughter. And I found out that the mother was a believer. And she died by a particular kind of cancer. And they just discovered cancer at the same place her mother had a cancer and died out of it. And I said, we obtained divine exemption. And I said, make no mistake. Not this one. You have her, but not this one. By divine immunity, we prohibit any further advancement with this disease. We curse it to the very root, and we command the life of it to die and wither. Are you hearing me? I'm just saying some few things for you to understand as we get into the scriptures. Please come with me. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Paul prayed a prayer that the Lord, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Go ahead.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom,
yes, sir,
and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
So there is a hope with this, with future. You have a future, and your future is bright. And your latter will be better and greater than your past. If you believe it, give me high energy praise, somebody here. That means it doesn't matter what you've been through, and it doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter what has happened to you, your future will be better and greater than where you've come from. If you believe it, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Go ahead.
And what the riches of the glory of his saints?
The riches.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance
in the saints?
In the saints.
So there are riches. There are riches in stock for you. The Bible said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered the hearts of men what God has planned for you. And when the Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered the hearts of men, it means that what God has planned to do with you and what is about to happen in your life has never happened before in your family. Amen. That you are going to be the first in your family.
Amen.
To break the generational curse. You will be the first in your family to obtain certain height and greatness that no one in your bloodline has ever attained before. If you believe it, put your hands together, shout yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. He said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered the hearts of men. It means that God is about to do something that has never happened before. That you are going to be a wonder. You'll be a mystery. People will have to demystify you to understand you. Say yes. That means you are going to be a game changer. A weapon of war. A battle axe in the hands of God. Say yes. Give me Psalm 13 verse 3. I beseech thee. I beseech thee. Psalm 13 verse 3. I beseech thee.
Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Place your hands on your eyes. Say in the name of Jesus. I destroy the veil over my eyes. Amen. So here was the psalmist praying a prayer. He said, Lord, enlighten thou my eyes that I might see, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Koda basada. Ekotondo basadaza. Somebody say, the devil is a liar. Come on, say it again. Say it one more time. The African Americans have a saying in America, and it goes this way. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Tell somebody, ain't nobody mad except the devil. That somebody is mad and is not anyone but the devil. Say the devil is a liar. Come with me, please, to Mark chapter 12, 18 and 23. Mark 12, 18 and 23. Somebody say, break the cycle.
Break the cycle.
Give somebody a high five and say, break the cycle. I'm not feeling you. Give it again. Say, break the cycle.
Yes.
Give me high energy. Break the cycle. Come on. Yes. Amen. Yes. Okay, Mark chapter 12, 18 to 23. Listen.
Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man...
Please sit down.
If a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offsprings for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of them all, the woman also died. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife.
Somebody say,
break the cycle.
This is like a story, but it was a reality. And it does happen. If you look at John, the fourth chapter, Jesus met the woman of Samaria. And at the time Jesus met her, she had married five men. Not having five men in her life, but she was married to five men, and she wasn't with the five, and she was now with the sixth one that she was about to marry, the sixth. So this is a possibility that seven brothers married one woman, and every one of them died prematurely without producing a seed for the bloodline and for the family. These are cycles and strange happenings, we call them, or strange patterns. It's not every woman you marry because she's a believer, and it's not every man you marry because he's a believer. I had a lady in my church many, many years ago. I was a young preacher at that time. And she was doing so well, made so much money. She dated three brothers in the church and they all died. And I have a preacher friend of mine. I won't mention his name or where he is, somewhere in the world. He married a lady and she was a believer. And she had married four men and they all died. And when he married this lady, he fasted and he praised the Lord. And one time, in his fasting and prayer, he had a revelation. And in the revelation, he was contending with this big snake. And it was fierce. It was fierce. And he told me about it. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "I don't think about anything. I don't know anything. You need to ask the Lord about what it is." But I understood that that serpent or that snake was responsible of killing the man to make sure that the woman remains unmarried. And as I'm speaking to you, she's alive today, he's alive today, they are no more together, and she's not married. 2 years ago, a young man married in one of my branches from a very, very good home. And from the day of the marriage, every night he wakes up in the morning, beaten with marks around his body and tired. And in the sleep, he will see a man beating him. And he will beat him. He wakes up with marks and tired. So after a while, he told the mom. And the mom came to tell me. And I said, "Ask the mother the circumstances under which he was born." And the mother couldn't have a child. So they went to a river in their village, consulted, performed some rituals. And the mother got pregnant. She had a girl. And they named the girl after the waters. And she stopped performing the ritual because she got born again. And that thing should have been annulled. Whatever she did should have been annulled. And she should have raised an altar and established a covenant on the behalf of that child to make it clear that children or human beings were created by God and not by rivers or gods. Something wasn't right, and something wasn't well done. As I talk to you, they've gone their separate ways. No more beating at night. No more fighting. He's okay now. I've seen him a few times in church, and I haven't said anything. I don't say a lot. A preacher came to me some years ago and said, "Papa, every time I fast and I pray, I see a snake sleeping next to me in my bed. What do you think it is?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know, and I don't understand your revelation. Ask God. Don't ask me anything. Because if I say anything, and I've done that before when I was young, I used to say things. And then they'll go and tell the wife that Papa said. So this day I don't say much. I listen a lot, and I don't say much." Say, "I hear you."
I hear you.
So if you look at John, the fourth chapter, Jesus met a woman by the well. And Jesus said to her, "Go call me your husband." John chapter 4, 16 to 18.
Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here."
Yeah.
The woman answered and said, "I have no husband."
Yes, sir.
Jesus said to her, "You have said well."
Yes, sir.
I have no husband. For you have had five husbands.
He didn't say you've had five boyfriends. And he didn't say you've had five men in your life. He said you've had how many? Five husbands. Go ahead.
And the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly.
That's it. So she was on the sixth one. And for whatever reason, I believe that Jesus was the seventh one she was targeting. But it was the wrong address. Somebody say, I hear you. So there are things happening. And there are a lot of people in the church who are born again, but they are babes. They are children. They haven't matured. They haven't come up to sonship. That is one. And then there are so many in the church also who are veiled and they are ignorant of how the rules of engagement operate. Now, let me establish three things here. When you got born again, it was your spirit that was born again, because salvation is in three dimensions. Number one, we were saved. Number two, we are being saved. Number three, we shall be saved. What was saved? Your spirit. What is being saved? Your soul. How is your soul saved? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can be born again and still conform to this world and not be transformed because your mind is still not renewed. Somebody say, I hear you. And your body shall be saved when Jesus comes again. So the enemy can afflict your body. He can oppress your body. A few weeks ago, I had some symptoms of something I dealt with many years ago, and the enemy was trying to put fear in me that that thing is coming back again. And I said, make no mistake. He himself took all my infirmity on the cross. By his stripes, I was healed, and if I was, then I am. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, name above every other name, I dismiss all symptoms. In Jesus' name, of any past affliction or infirmity, out. Somebody say, out. Say, in the name of Jesus, out. Say, make no mistake. Oh, my enemy, make no mistake. You will not afflict me anymore, nor exact on me anymore. In the name of Jesus, make no mistake, I will not die prematurely. Make no mistake, I will not be disadvantaged. Make no mistake, I will not go sick. For when it is time for me to depart, I shall call my grandchildren, my sons and daughters, and my great grandchildren. And I will say, gather around my bed and let me teach you how a believer dies. Kaboom! De palakutan! Hey, kusada! Somebody say, hey, 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 hey! Sit down for 2 minutes. Let me teach you how believers go. We go in style. Tanakadus. Me. Ukada. Satavalusa. Belea to come. Deye katandu waza. Hey, hey. Put your hands together. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say, break the cycle. Sit down for 2 minutes. Sit down for 2 minutes. Say, break the cycle. One more time. Let me show you another cycle called the Midianite curse. The Midianite curse. In the book of Judges, the sixth chapter, reading from the third to the fourth verse, the Midianite curse. The Midianite curse. For 7 years, there was a pattern or a cycle that kept reoccurring in the life of the children of Israel. And the Bible says that at any time, Israel sold. So the thing didn't happen until they sold. Nothing happened until they sowed their seed. Whenever they sowed or they planted their seed, then the cycle came into effect. It was something that was time sensitive. Somebody say time sensitive. It was a programming in the womb of time that goes into effect anytime Israel sow their seed. When they don't sow, nothing happens. They are good. But as soon as they plant their seed and it is harvest time, the enemy comes. Judges 6, 3 and 4.
So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites will come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east will come up against them. Then they will encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth.
Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, that they didn't come to take the harvest, they came to destroy. Keep that in mind. They didn't come to take it. They weren't interested in the harvest. They were interested in destroying them and making sure they had nothing. They won't take it away. They will destroy it to impoverish Israel. Go ahead.
Then they will encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey.
Now, understand something, how the enemy works here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he gains advantage over us. So watch this. God handed them over to Midian, to the Midianites, for sinning or violating the laws and the precepts of Jehovah. And so for 7 years, they were to be afflicted by the Midianites. But there came the Amalekites and the children of the east. And so whenever the enemy knows that you are in violation of the laws of God, it gives him the advantage and the audacity to afflict you without a legal grounds. Because sin gives the devil a legal ground. Keep that in mind. God never handed them over to the Amalekites or the children of the east. The punishment was the Midianites. But when the Midianites, when the Amalekites and the children of the east, who didn't like Israel, realized that the Lord had given them up to the Midianites, they took advantage of it. I declare by divine authority that henceforth the enemy will not take advantage of you. That you will not be exploited financially. You will not be exploited emotionally. You will not be exploited psychologically or physically anymore. If you believe it, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. And this continued. It kept on reoccurring, negative reoccurrence. It was a particular pattern or a cycle that kept on repeating itself for 7 years in the life of the children of Israel. For 7 years, the cycle continued. Somebody say, break the cycle. Oh, I can't feel it. Somebody say it and say, break the cycle. Come with me to Deuteronomy 2:3. Deuteronomy 2:3, break the cycle.
Then God said, you've been going around in circles these hills long enough. Go north.
Watch this. For 40 years, the children of Israel kept on going around the same mountain, the same happenings. It kept on reoccurring. For 40 years, year after year, they kept on going around the mountains. They kept on going around the mountains. And that is a wandering spirit. Somebody say, a wandering spirit. They wandered. I declare that you will not wander anymore. That your children will not wander in the journey of life in the name of Jesus. That you will have clarity and a sense of direction in life. Say yes. Say yes. And say, break the cycle, break the cycle. Say, break the cycle. 40 years wandering in the wilderness of life for 40 years. That is not your portion. If you believe it, say yes. Come with me to Genesis 12:11-13. Genesis 12:11-14.
And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake.
Somebody say, break the cycle. Come on, say it again. Break the cycle. Genesis 26 and 7.
And it came to pass, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he said, "The men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon."
So watch this. Say, like father, like son. Come on, say, like father, like son. Say, like mother, like daughter. Say, I hear you. So, you see, the problem with us believers is we think when we are born again, everything just changes. If before you got born again, you were short. After you get born again, you will still be short. And if you are tall, after you get born again, you are still tall. And if you are overweight, you get born again, you are still overweight. If you are slim, after being born again, you will still be slim. If you don't understand these rules of engagement, and you just go walking around, born again, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and demons will fool with you. Because I've seen a lot of believers who just quote scripture and they don't understand what they are saying, and they fool around. But I have learned not to ignore the voice of the enemy. It's very dangerous to ignore the voice of the enemy. The Bible said, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They lack understanding. And because they don't walk in illumination and in light and in revelation, the enemy has an advantage." That's why the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he gains advantage. There are devices. Devices. In this world. And if you lack understanding, and if you don't have light and illumination, the enemy can have an advantage over you. But today I declare, after this service, let him have no advantage over you. I said, let him have no advantage in the name of Jesus. Say, I deny him, I deny him, I deny him of any advantage whatsoever he has. If you believe it, say yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. So here was Abraham, the father of faith, the friend of God. But there was something about Abraham where he liked a particular kind and type of women. Yeah. Particular kind. I know young men that I've dealt with over the years. And they will see good sisters in the church. And they don't want them. And they want crazy sisters. Sisters that are crazy. Like Samson. Samson was crazy. He was crazy for some type of women. The parents said, "Are there no women among our women? Why are you interested in this one?" You know what he said? He said, "Because she pleases me well." She said, "Our women, they dress like Catholic nuns. They don't know how to do some things." And if you watch Samson, the Bible said, Samson went to Timnah. And Timnah means a place of assignment. There was a woman that was laying in wait for him. She was positioned. She was assigned to inject him with a virus. So he went to Timnah and told the father and the mother, "Get her for me." And the woman in Timnah had an assignment to inject him with a particular sex virus. And when he got that sex virus, he became so high that after that high, he needed one that was higher than the virus of Timnah. So he found himself going to Gaza. And Gaza means a stronghold. He needed some virus and sex virus that was stronger than that of Timnah. So he ended up with a prostitute in Gaza. He needed a strong drink. A strong wine. He needed something stronger than that of Timnah. Then the Bible says he went down to Gaza. Went down to Gaza. Then went from Gaza, from Timnah, he went to Gaza. And then from Gaza, he went into the valley. Ask somebody, where are you? Turn to somebody and say, where's your location? Where's your location? He went down to Timnah. He went to Gaza. Then he went to the valley. And in the valley, by the time he got to the valley, his defenses was already taken. His defenses was already neutralized. by the harlot of Gaza. And he went down into the valley and met a lady by the name of Delilah. And the word Delilah means delicate and tender. Adalakatun, Devaikatuan, Delayakatuanda. Hey! Somebody say, hey! Somebody say, mercy! Jesus. And this Delilah, the destiny killer. Say, Delilah, the destiny killer. Jesus. Somebody say, help! Somebody say, rescue! Jesus. Molaya Kitunda Sada. I was in the country the other day and I was praying for some people. And a lady came and said, Papa, I need a breakthrough. And she told me she was having some medical problems. And she told me exactly what it was. So I prayed for her. And I gave her anointing oil. I carry the anointing oil with me all the time. And I said, I need you to anoint your chest. I need you to anoint your womb, your feet, and your head. And she opened the anointing oil. Immediately she started. And I said, hey. Somebody said, hey. I said, my darling, please go home. When you get home, do this, not here. So I was telling one of my bishops what happened. He said, Papa, you are afraid? And I said, brother, I'm not just afraid, I'm escaping. Yeah. You see, let me tell you the problem with us men of God. Sometimes you can be so sure of your anointing and yourself, and you can be in trouble. The Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. It's not everything you look at. There are some things you don't look. You just look somewhere else. And let it pass. Say, let it pass. Yeah, don't be too confident. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Bible says, we are of the circumcision of the flesh who have no confidence in ourselves but in God. So don't walk around believing in your gifts and your anointing. Because anointing and gifts are limited. Anointing and gifts, they are limited. It is character that prevails. And it is character that guarantees longevity. I was telling my daughter in there about a few weeks ago, myself and a friend of mine, Michael Pitcher and Abijan, were talking about some great guys who used to fill stadiums in America and all across the nations who are nowhere to be seen anymore. They were huge. They were mega. Huge and mega. Filled stadiums. And I was saying, we got to learn some lessons from these guys. So we started thinking and we started exchanging notes and trying to understand why they were mega and why they ended up where they've ended up today. And they are off the scene and others are still moving. And I realized that God's definition of success is different from man's definition of success. And this journey and ministry is not about numbers. And it's not about success. It's about longevity. It's about how long. You know, Oral Roberts went to his university. And the student said, Mr. President, how do you want to be remembered? And he said, I want to be remembered as one man of God who lasted. I lasted. If you want to last, you must go past gifts and anointings. Because, you see, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's why Samson could fool, sleep with prostitute in Gaza, got up the same night at 12 midnight and removed the pillars and the gates of the city. And he was still gifted. So you can still be anointed. You can still be gifted and be fooling around. And the anointing and the gift will still operate. But what you don't realize is, the Bible says, the Spirit of God will not wrestle with man forever. So there come a time when God gives you a long rope for you to come to yourself and realize that the gift and the anointing is not what you depend on. And I've operated with gifts and I've operated with anointing and I've operated with the presence and I've come to the conclusion that I rather go for the presence than the gift and the anointing. Because there's a difference when you operate by the gift and anointing and the presence. And when you are prayed by the present, it's easy. It's simple. You don't fret. You don't struggle when the present is there. And the present don't come without purity and sanctification. You can walk in sin, in disobedience, in pride, in arrogance, and still have the gift of prayer. You must understand that Samson walked in disobedience and he still was anointed. He was still powerful. Moses was in disobedience. God told him, speak to the rock. He smote the rock and water still came out. And God said, get out of the way. But realize that even though he was in disobedience, water still came out of the rock. Because the gift was for the benefit of the people and not the benefit of Moses. So God will still use you to bless his people. And from the sake of the people, he will let the gift of praise. But at the end of the day, God will deal with you. And that is the scary thing about ministry that I've come to learn all these years. That the fact that you are still flowing the anointing and the gift is still flowing don't mean that God is with you. It means that God is honoring the gift. Somebody said to me, Papa, how come people fool around and the gift still operate? And I said, the name of Jesus. He said, when I come, many shall come and say, Lord, Lord, we raise the dead in your name. We perform miracles in your name. Mighty deeds in your name. Great and works in your name. And he will say, I know you not, workers of iniquity, depart from me. What does that word iniquity mean? It means lawlessness. What does it also mean? It means that you serve God on your own terms and not on his terms. You were not accountable. You were not responsible to anybody. You were a law to yourself. And so God said, even though the gifts operated and you use my name, I still don't know you. And I said, you can take my car key, go to the car park and start my car and move my car. And the car won't say, you are not mine. The car will not refuse you because the car is designed to respond to the key, not to the owner. So the name of Jesus, for it is written, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee of things in heaven, on earth, and on that earth shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the name of Jesus is a key. When you speak that name, the enemy must respond. Sickness must respond. But it is not you, because the disciples came, Luke 10:19, and they said, even the unclean spirit are subject to us through your name. So it is the name, not us. Not us. None of us are so anointed and so gifted that demons bow. Demons don't care about who we are. They don't respect you for how many scriptures you can quote. They respect the name. They respect the presence. Somebody say, talk to me. Somebody say, break the cycle. Say it again. Say, break the cycle. So you look at the Abrahamic family and you realize that every one of them were into fair women. They were attracted to a particular kind of women. And there are sisters in the church, born again, Holy Ghost filled, who are attracted to a particular kind and type of men, lazy men, men who don't work, men who don't do anything, men who are carnal, men who are not spiritual, men that will just sleep with them, take their money but won't work. They like that kind. They don't like good men and responsible brothers. For whatever reason, and they don't even know why they are attracted to those kind of men. It's a programming. And if you watch the bloodline, it's a pattern. And there are men in the church, there are brothers, Holy Ghost filled brothers, who like a particular kind and type of women with a particular kind of shape, size, and butt, and breast, and nose, and eye. You are looking at me. But it's a break the cycle. And they are in the church. And if you look at this particular pattern of the type and kinds of women that these bloodline were in love with, it came out to many, many, many generations, to the 11th generation called Solomon. And if you look at Solomon, the writings of Solomon, you will see how he talked about the fairest of... You remember? Yeah. Songs of Solomon is there. I don't want to go into that. You know? And it was all about fair women and fair women and fair women. The thing was swimming in the blood all the way from Father Abraham to the 11th generation. It was in the blood. And when it came to Solomon, he married 300 wives and 700 concubines, 1,000 women. You're looking at me. And you are not more born again than Abraham. Amen. Even though they weren't born again in their times. And you can look at me any way you want to look at me. But these things happen. And I've seen them. I don't want to go into details, because if I go into details, some of you will backslide. You won't serve the Lord anymore. But I'm just telling you that there are cycles that need to be broken. So in the life of Abraham, he married a fair woman and he lied. Isaac married a fair woman and lied. Then Jacob also lied. There was a lying spirit that was flowing in this family. Come with me to Genesis 27, 18 and 19. Genesis 27, 18 and 19. Quickly.
And he came unto his father and said, My father, he said, here I am. Who art thou, my son? Mm-hmm. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that your soul may bless me.
Now, watch this. Was Jacob Esau? Talk to me. Was he Esau? He lied. It's a pattern. It's a cycle in the bloodline. I was dealing with a friend of mine. He used to fill stadiums in America years ago. He had a problem, and the ministry went down. So he would come, we'll pray, he and I, for some time. One time I was praying, and the Lord said, there is an issue of innocent blood that is speaking against his bloodline, and he needs to settle it. So I called him. I said, hey, buddy, what's up? And we talked. And I said, is there any issue of blood, some kind of a blood that was shed in your bloodline? He said, we can't talk about this. Can you come down? So I flew. We met. He lived in a city in America, in California. And we drove to the mountains and we started walking. And he said, my grandfather slew a human being. He killed a human being in the plantation. And found out later on that the man was innocent, but he had killed the person. And because he was so powerful and had money, the authorities had to let him go. They didn't charge him. And then he told me something that was very strange that happened to his grandfather. The same thing happened to him, to his father. And his father was a believer. He was an elder in his church. And the same thing happened to him also. And I said, wow. And I said, you need to silence the cry of that blood and obtain divine exemption. And you need to dismiss any case and charge held against you in the courts of heaven and in any satanic court of jurisdiction. The case must be dismissed on the account of the blood that was shed. That cry of the blood must be silenced, and the enemy cannot make any claims and demand whatsoever about the consequence of the innocent blood. Like women that perform things like abortion and everything, God will forgive you, but Satan will hold it against you. And the problem with sin is this, that we don't understand is that God will forgive us, but Satan holds it. He uses it. And whenever the devil brings up your past, it's an indication that he has nothing new on you. So he has to bring up the past as a way to ensnare you and get you back. Somebody say, here, I hear you. Somebody say, break the cycle. So you see a particular cycle going on in each one. Like, because of time, I will mention some few things. I'll give you the scriptures. Abraham married, and his wife was barren for 25 years. Sarah was barren for 25 years. Then Isaac married Rebekah. Rebekah was barren for 20 years. Then Jacob married two women. The woman he wanted wasn't the one that was given to him. He wanted Rachel, and he wept 7 years for a woman. That is an issue we'll deal with. It's another subject for another day. So I don't want to go into it. What makes a man wait 7 years for a woman? That woman really carries something. Amen. And he gave up all his privileges. 7 years for one woman. And when the time came for him to marry, he married in the night. So he lacked light. He didn't have enough light and revelation. Number two, the woman was wearing a veil, so he couldn't see what he was marrying. Is it possible you can marry something you don't see and you don't know? Yes. Don't be fooled. This enemy we are dealing with is very good. Anyway, let's move on. So he married in the night. And then he took the woman to his tent and was with her all night long and didn't know that it was Leah and not Rachel. I believe that he was drunk. The father-in-law made sure that he was drunk. Because he should have known. Through the whole night, you are with a woman, and you don't know that this is Leah and not Rachel. He was drunk. He woke up in the morning when the light came, and he had light. And he saw that it was Leah and not Rachel. He said, "Hey, Amemambru." Then he ran to the father-in-law and said, "What have you done to me?" And the father-in-law said, I'm sorry. There is a law in our land that will not allow us to give you the youngest in marriage whilst the elder is not married. So if you still want Rachel, you have to wait for another 7 years. 14 years for one woman. He wanted Rachel. He ended up with four women. Rachel was barren for 14 years. I'll give you all the scriptures. And Leah was also barren. All two wives were barren. And the Lord said, the Bible said, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. And she also gave birth. And Leah gave birth to three children. After that, her womb was shut. So she gave her maid to Jacob to produce children on her behalf. And Rachel couldn't have children, so she also gave her maid to Jacob to produce children for her. Then Abraham's wife also gave her maid to the husband to produce children for her. Somebody say calculations. Somebody say manipulations. Somebody say programming. Say patterns of the bloodline. And say cycles. Come with me to Genesis 38. Genesis 38, 6 to 11. Look at something quickly. Genesis 38.
Genesis 38, 6 to 11.
Uh-huh.
In the course of time,
listen carefully.
Judah arranged for his firstborn son, Er, to marry a young woman named Tamar.
Tamar, go ahead.
But Er was a wicked man in the Lord's sight.
He did something that displeased the Lord.
So and the Lord took his life.
We must always pray for our children, like Job did, that they will never displease the Lord. And we must plead for them all the time. I was telling my church the other day, I said, if you have children, be careful what you say about other people's children. If you have children, be careful what you say about other people's children. Because it doesn't matter how well you raise them up. There will always be something that doesn't add up. One time a sower went to sow good seed, and when men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares. And the servant said, "Master, did you not raise up these kids well? Did you not sow a good seed? What happened?" And the master looked at the servant and he said, "Son, don't worry about what I did wrong or right. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. You can raise them up well, and an enemy can interfere. An enemy can do some things. And until you understand how the rules of engagement work to override some things, you ask yourself, what did I do wrong? It's not what you did wrong, it's what you did right." Go ahead.
Then Judah said to Er's brother Onan, "Go and marry Tamar as our Lord."
Somebody say, break the cycle. Talk to me. Say, break the cycle. Give me high energy. Say, break the cycle. He's firstborn, married Tamar, and did evil in the sight of God, and the Lord killed him. He died prematurely. I pray that you and your house will be exempted from the curse of premature death. That you will not go down prematurely, but you will last in the name of Jesus. Say, make no mistake, I will outlive every enemy and adversary of mine. I will outlive them all. Sit down for 2 minutes. Quickly, let me finish. Go ahead.
Then Judah said to Er's brother, Onan, go and marry Tamar, as our law requires of the brother of a man who has died. You must produce an heir for your brother. But Onan was not willing to have a child who will not be his own heir. So whenever he had intercourse with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground. This prevented her from having a child who would belong to his brother. But the Lord considered it evil for Onan to deny a child to be his dead brother. So the Lord took Onan's life too. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, go back to your parents' home and remain a widow until my son Shelah is old enough to marry you. But Judah didn't really intend to do this because he was afraid Shelah would also die, his two brothers.
Hear me. Say, break the pattern. Say, break the cycle. The first son died prematurely. Second son died prematurely. Whether it was about the woman or it was something that had to do with Judah's bloodline is another matter for another day. I don't want to go into the details. But it's very clear here that the two brothers died when they married that woman. And I think that before any brother marries a woman, you got to investigate the bloodline. You got to look at, you know, in the old days, before you marry, when you tell your parents, they will always send to go find out about the family of the man or the woman and the house you are going into. This generation, we are like the Samson generation, sight generation, social media generation. We marry through social media. You see her and we like the looks. But you got to go past looks, because looks changes. And in the matter of time, what you are looking at will melt. And when it melts, you need more than looks to keep it together. Somebody say, break the cycle. Come on, talk to me. Say, break the cycle. And the father said, I don't want to lose the third born. So I will not let him marry her. I don't want to go into the details of what she did. This woman was no joke. She was no joke. She was very sophisticated. She set up the father-in-law, slept with the father-in-law, produced twins, and God bypassed the third born, whose he was preserving for the inheritance of the bloodline of Judah to produce a king for Judah. God bypassed him and went and took one of the twins born out of wedlock to fulfill the demands of God when it comes to the bloodline of Judah. I understand that I don't understand. Are you hearing me? I don't get it. I don't understand why God did that, but he did. Say, break the cycle. Come with me to two scriptures and I'll finish. Joshua 6 and 26. Joshua 6, 26.
At that time, Joshua invoked this curse. May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho at the cost of the firstborn son. He will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates.
1 Kings 16:34.
In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram, and he set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub.
Somebody say, break the cycle. I can't hear you. Say it one more time. Break the cycle. So here was a programming. Say, programming. Come on, talk to me. Say, programming. In the womb of time. Say it, in the womb of time. Say, time sensitive. Programming. In the womb of time that goes into effect at certain seasons of our lives. There was a woman that was suffering from an issue of blood. For 12 years, she couldn't break the cycle. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. She could not break the cycle. There are so many of you here, you are dealing with prolonged battles. Some battles and contentions have been going on for too long in your life, and I came by the prophetic word to announce that this is the end of it. It ends here in the name of Jesus. The financial struggle and battles is coming to an end. Psalm 7 verse 9, he said, "Oh Lord, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end." I came to declare today that the battle is over. That financial battle is over. That marital battle is over. The battle between you and your wife is over. That prolonged battle over your children is over. That prolonged battle over your health is over. You will go to the doctor and you will have a clean medical report.
Amen.
That battle and contention over your health is over.
Amen.
If you believe it's over, put your hands together and scream. Hallelujah. The Bible said that there was a prolonged battle between the house of David and the house of Jacob. A prolonged battle. I don't know what kind of prolonged battle you are dealing with. Are you hearing me, somebody? I have dealt with some prolonged battle. One person that dealt with some serious prolonged battles and certain cycles in his life was Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Paul talked about a thorn. Say a thorn. Talk to me. Say a thorn. A thorn. Somebody say a thorn. Today, let the thorn come to an end.
Amen.
Let the thorn come to an end.
Amen.
Say yes.
Yes.
Give somebody a high five and say, the thorn is over. The thorn is over. Let the thorn come to an end. Clap your hand and say, the thorn, the thorn, the thorn is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. Look at it. Let me end with it. 2 Corinthians. Say, break the cycle. I can't hear you. Say, break the cycle. You know, I didn't come to preach to every one of you. I came to preach to somebody. I don't know who that somebody is. But I'm telling you today, if you will receive this prophetic word, certain cycles in your life will break. Certain thorns are coming to an end. You know what a thorn is? Nkase, is being uprooted in the name of Jesus. Jesus said the other day, he said, any plant that my father did not plant shall be rooted out. I came and I declare that thorns are being rooted out. Certain things are being rooted out. Somebody say, come on, out. Look at Paul. Look at Paul, 2 Corinthians, quickly, let me finish with this. 2 Corinthians 11.
11, 23, yeah.
Uh-huh.
23.
Listen.
Are they ministers of Christ?
Uh-huh, listen to Paul.
I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant.
Paul said, if anybody is questioning what I'm saying, if they are ministers of Christ, I'm more anointed than them. Let nobody raise an objection here. Objection overruled. He said, I'm telling you, as a minister, I'm more a minister than them. And listen to what Paul said. Go ahead.
In stripes above measure.
He said, in stripes, beaten above measure.
In prisons more frequently.
He said, in prison, that means frequently. It was something that was a cycle, a pattern. It kept on happening. And said, I'm Paul. I've seen Jesus. I've been to the third world. But I've been to prison several times. It was an ongoing thing. A cycle, a pattern. Go ahead.
In deaths often.
In death often. Often. He kept on reoccurring. Times of danger. I faced danger. Assassination attempts. And I've been there. I know what it means to be assassinated. In this country. I've been through things. Go ahead.
From the Jews, 5 times I received
40
stripes.
Negative reoccurrence. He kept on reoccurring. And Paul said, I am Apostle Paul. I wrote all the Pauline revelation. But I've seen some cycles and negative patterns in my life. Go ahead.
3 times I was beaten.
Three times. Negative cycles.
Once
say break the cycle.
Told.
Say break. Say, break the cycle. Give somebody a high five and say, break, 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 break the cycle. Break the cycle. Break the cycle. Go ahead.
Once I was stoned.
Stoned.
3 times I was shipwrecked.
How many times have you been stoned? How many times have you been shipwrecked? Go ahead.
A night and a day I have been in the deep.
In the deep. Go ahead.
In journeys often.
In journeys often.
In perils of waters.
Yes, sir.
In perils of robbers.
Yes, sir.
In perils of my own countrymen.
Talk to me. Betrayals. Betrayals within. Betrayals without. Betrayals by countrymen and women. Betrayals, domestic betrayals and external betrayals. Betrayals home and abroad. Betrayals within and without. You think you've been betrayed before? Paul said, I was betrayed by my own. Madu Makas. If Alanda Kawasan, Ilai Katahan, Imandu Kawahafada. Been betrayed many times. Betrayed by my own brethren, by the best. Go ahead.
In perils of the Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
In perils in the city.
Taluka this.
In perils in the wilderness.
Mayaka talaha.
In perils in the sea.
Yes, sir.
In perils among false brethren.
False brethren, yes, sir.
In weariness and toil.
Yes, sakut.
In sleeplessness often.
Akimalua sa.
In hunger and thirst.
Eluta kandu asia.
In fastings often.
Salanda kamahadun wadis.
In cold and nakedness.
Adilaku tuwanda kasa. Cold. And
beside the other things,
yes, sir.
What comes upon me daily,
yes,
my deep bending. Concern for all the churches.
Yes, sir. Hear me.
Who is weak? I am not weak.
He said, who is weak? And I'm not weak.
Who is made to stumble?
Uh-huh.
And I do not burn with indignation.
Akaduma dasis.
If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who
stop
is
there.
Blessed forever.
Stop there. It's okay. It's just too much. It's just too much. I just brought this to settle some arguments. Are you hearing me? Because I know a lot. I've worked with the best. I know Dr. Lester Samuel. I know Ora Roberts. When I was taken to heaven some few years ago, they took me to a high mountain and they showed me a city. And the angel said, that is the city of T.L. Osborne. And I said, that is my grandfather in the faith. I came back to my body a few weeks ago. A few weeks after that, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was leaving Tulsa, and I called Elsie. I flew with Continental to Houston and to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the Lord said, change the routing. Go through Chicago. So I called Elsie. I said, Elsie, route me through Chicago. He said, why? I said, I don't know. Just get me through Chicago. I got to Chicago airport. And my flight was delayed for 2 hours. So I decided to go have cappuccino at Starbucks. I was in the line waiting for my turn to have cappuccino. Then I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, lift up your head and look. And I lifted up my head. And I looked to my right side. T.L. Osborne was sitting there having coffee. And I went to him. And I said, Grandpa. And he said, Nicholas, sit down. And I said, Grandpa, I saw your city in heaven. And he said, I know. That's why I'm over 80 and I'm still preaching the gospel. Are you hearing me? T.L. Osborne lost his only son. His only son. Overdose of drugs. Marzorello lost his son. We were in London having a great convention. And a call came that his son had died with overdose of drugs in the bathroom. Stand on your feet. Lift up your hands. Makuda sees. Let the cycle break today. I don't know the cycles you are dealing with, but everybody is dealing with some cycle or the other. Today, let the cycle break. Let negative reoccurrence in your life break.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are certain people today who must touch the altar. Are you hearing me? There are some people who must touch the altar. I don't know why. But there are some people who must just touch the altar. Are you hearing me, somebody? Daguzi, Madis. Ekutundan, Pisant. Batum wakasan de lavanda kusi mali itayakundi wasalanda masata. But today, let demonic cycles break.
Amen.
Let negative cycles break.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, let every demonic pattern in your life, in your family, break.
Amen.
Everybody, wherever you are, put your hands together. Begin to command demonic cycles to break.
Let it break. Lift your hands and pray. Whatever it is, whatever the cycle, let it break. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let it break. In the name of Jesus, let the cycle break. Let a cycle break. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody engage it. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let the whole pray.
Put your hands together.
In the name of Jesus.
Break the cycle. Break the cycle.
Let it break.
Break the cycle.
Let it break.
Cycles break. 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 Break the cycle.
Let it break.
Break the cycle. Break the cycle.
Break
the cycle.
Let it break.
Command the cycle to break. I command the cycle. Break. Break. Break the cycle. In the name of Jesus. Break the cycle. Now. Hear me. I'm going to go to the other side, to the overflow, and come back. But let me give you some spiritual instructions. Look at me. I want you to look at me. I want to give you a key. If you follow it well, you'll be shocked to see what God will do. And this is the key. Hear me. Everybody go back to your seat. I'll show you something. I want to give you a key. I want you to look at me. The power of the altar is determined by the gift you put on the altar. Don't forget this for the rest of your life. The altar, the power of the altar is determined by the gift you put on the altar. It is the sacrifice on the altar that determines the power of the altar. So I'm going to ask everybody here, everybody, aisle by aisle, ushers, direct them to come to the altar with the sacrifice. I'm not talking about a seed. There's a difference between a seed and a sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that costs you. A sacrifice is something dear to you. A sacrifice is something that you are holding on to, precious, that you won't let go. Put a sacrifice on the altar. That is what determines the power and the strength of an altar. It's not every altar I put my seed on. I have a very powerful altar. And men and preachers, I won't mention their name, have come from different parts of the world to place an altar, to place a seed on my altar. And they'll send me a text and say, Papa, I placed a seed. Sometimes the seed is heavy. And I'll say, who brought this? And they don't know who. And security, I said, go back. Go back. Let me see the cameras. And they go back. We have cameras. And I will see the person. And they say, Papa, I brought that seed. Heavy seed. And they said, there is something about your altar. There is something about your altar. The strength of this altar is not the altar. It's the sacrifices you place on this altar. You can make this altar one of the strongest in this life, in this land, by what you place on it. But make sure you are putting a sacrifice and not a seed. And a sacrifice is something that costs you. If you just do ordinary offerings, your altar will not speak for you. But if you know how, you see, Solomon's mother did something scaring. She did something scaring. God rejected the first child that came out of that relationship David the king had with Bathsheba. God said, I condemn this relationship, and the child, I will not have it. And God never recognized Bathsheba as David's wife. The Bible always called Bathsheba the wife of Uriah. But Bathsheba did something. She did something that was powerful. The Bible didn't tell us the details, but God rejected the firstborn. Then the same God bypassed Adonijah, bypassed Absalom, and went for the second child that came out of the womb of Bathsheba. And God named him Solomon, because I have loved him. Then Bathsheba said to Solomon, he said this, watch this. He said, Solomon, Solomon, the son of my womb and the son of my vow. The son of my vow. The Bible never told us what that vow was, but she did something. She turned something around and God accepted Solomon. I don't get it. I don't get it. Hear me. Hear me. Some of you, I cannot tell you what the sacrifice is, but you know what the sacrifice is. And for some of you, it will take a sacrifice to turn something around. Because for some of you here, when my father died, and we went to my village, and I saw the house my father was born in, everything that never made sense to me about my personal warfare made sense to me. And I said, okay, now I understand my warfare and my battles. And I knew exactly what to say and how to pray. And after that, I told my driver, turn the car, move. And I've never stepped foot there again. And I told the people in the village, the connection between me and you is this man in the casket. And after I bury him, there is no contact and connection between me. I sever all links with you. I'm like Abraham. I'm getting out of here. And I'm obtaining divine exemptions. Divine exemption. And I discharge myself from every charge against my father's children in any court of jurisdiction and in the courts of heaven. I declare myself acquitted and discharged. And I walk free.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1-877-361-5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today. And may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.